Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. Immigration was already a top issue for the 2024 presidential campaign, and now a Senate battle over a bipartisan border policy proposal is highlighting the divide. Former President Trump is trying to quash any possible deal. CBS's Christina Bravini.
This week, Trump issued a statement saying a border deal now would be another gift to the radical left Democrats, and has been appealing directly to GOP members of Congress, asking them to scuttle the deal. In a letter to House Republicans Friday, Speaker Mike Johnson wrote, if rumors about the contents of the draft proposal are true, it would have been dead on arrival in the House.
This is Arizona Governor Greg Abbott is vowing to continue his fight with the Biden administration over the border. He says his state must protect itself, and Eagle Pass Fire Chief Manuel Mello agrees.
Governor Abbott is doing what the federal government should have done a long time ago. I'm not saying about the razor wire, and I'm not saying about curtailing the influx of migrants into the United States. If that would have happened years ago, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in right now.
Now to Israel, where the UN's top court says that nation must do more to prevent genocide in Gaza as it continues its offensive against Hamas. More than 26,000 civilians have died in Gaza, but the court did not order a ceasefire. CBS's Deborah Pata in Tel Aviv.
The ruling amounted to an overwhelming rebuke of Israel's wartime conduct, and although the court has no means to enforce it, it has added to mounting international pressure to halt the nearly four-month-old offensive.
Millions are dealing with heavy rains and possible flooding over this weekend. Kelly Cass is at the Weather Channel.
Still some heavy rain hanging back across the Tennessee Valley, and this all pushes through the Carolinas as we head from Saturday into our Sunday. And it's still pouring in places like the Queen City of Charlotte, down towards Charleston, where we saw record highs yesterday in the low 80s.
There's some great tennis in Australia.
Arina Sabalenka fought hard to the end. Sabalenka emotional after the win.
No, it's not going to be crying. Okay.
Taking home back-to-back Australian Open titles, winning 6-3, 6-2 over China's Qin Wenzhen.
Amazing memory for me. I'm sure there's going to be more and better in the future.
Scott Maiman for CBS News, Canberra, Australia.
Part of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge in Maryland is still closed after a crash involving about 20 cars sent at least 10 people to the hospital this morning. Two had life-threatening injuries. They have to check the bridge's structural integrity. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The FBI is warning that extortion crimes against teenagers on social media rose 20% from October of 2022 to March of last year over the same period the year before. Boys are often the victims. Suzanne Potter has more.
Scammers will pose as an attractive girl on social media or gaming sites, ask the boy to send nude photos or videos, then threaten to post them online if the victim doesn't pay up. FBI Special Agent Curtis Cox says the threats often cause extreme mental anguish.
Fear of being exposed that way causes these kids to panic. Sometimes they attempt to make the payments, which is a big mistake. It doesn't solve the problem, it only exacerbates it. And unfortunately, oftentimes we see this anxiety lead to self-harm or thoughts of suicide.
The FBI says between October 2021 and March 2023, the feds got more than 13,000 reports of online financial sextortion of minors, involving more than 12,600 victims, which led to at least 20 suicides. Cox asks parents to discuss sextortion with their kids and show compassion if their child has fallen prey.
These kids are victims to criminals who know exactly what to say and what to do to get what they want. If your kid does report this to you, don't judge, don't be angry. Look at them as a victim and help them get the help and the resources that they need to get through this.
Victims can report the crime at 1-800-CALL-FBI or online at tips.fbi.gov. I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some fog today, otherwise cloudy skies, and we'll see a high near 37. Some fog tonight, clouds and 33. Cloudy skies on your Sunday with a high near 36. We'll be in the upper 30s for Monday and 37 with some rain for your Tuesday.
Right now, 35.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. If you're listening in Hayward on WBZH or on WLAK in Amory. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Very excited to be joined by our next guest. It's a really, really important thing. Nick Ramos is the executive director for the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Your first time on the show. Nick, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Hey, first time caller, long time listener. Super happy to be here. I had to wear my Civic Media shirt because I got to rep my favorite radio station in all the land. So thank you so much for having me, Jane.
I'm delighted to have you. You had a wonderful op-ed this week in Urban Milwaukee, and I really encourage everybody to read Urban Milwaukee as well, about the final five voting. And so explain, Nick, because not everybody is excited about this. So before we get into who is less excited about this, explain what final five voting is.
Absolutely. So, you know, in the past and recently, you know, we have a primary before elections. And so, you know, you have typically Republican candidates, Democrat candidates going up against each other to try and get to the general election. This bill changes the format of how primaries are ran in Wisconsin. Specifically, instead of it being so focused on candidates winning a primary, the best five, the five that get the most votes, doesn't matter what party they're a part of, the five candidates most votes get to go to the general election. And then after that, instead of, you know, you just get one bite at the apple, you get an opportunity to rank up to five candidates. First being your most preferred candidate, fifth being your least preferred candidate. And on election night, they'll look at all the candidates, those five, see who has the most first preference choice votes. And then we'll look at the ones that have the least amount. The least amount will get eliminated. And then, so like in the event that maybe your first choice is one that gets eliminated, then your vote would then get transferred to whoever your second choice was. And that process would continue over and over again until we get down to two candidates. The goal being one candidate needs to get 50% of the vote to win. And that creates an atmosphere where really you can say that a candidate has got a mandate, that there's over 50% individuals that want to see this person in office versus somebody that just skirts by and just gets more votes than one other person. You can argue and say that that person doesn't really have a ton of people that really support them. But in this case, because of the preferences and the way that the votes will transfer, everyone gets a say, and it's just, you don't lose immediately if your candidate is eliminated immediately.
I'm curious, Nick. Again, I've been reading different things about this, and now this has already been instituted in Alaska, correct?
That's right. Alaska, and you see other versions of ranked choice voting in other cities and states. I mean, like Nevada, New York. So, like, you know, this isn't a completely radical idea.
Who is not excited about this idea? I just have a feeling that there might be some who are like, this is a terrible idea. I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is that, you know, I've been trying to read all the literature that has come out, you know, and just talking heads and opinions left and right. And, you know, it's funny that there's so many people out there that sit there and say that this is some kind of Trojan horse for the Democratic Party. And it's like, how is that even possible? Especially when you have Republican sponsors and co-sponsors. Hell, we had Greg Marcus go all the way to Madison and talk about this bill. Like, there's people from both sides of the aisle wanting to see this be implemented in Wisconsin. And yet, you know, you have some very power hungry legislators that think that, oh my God, it's going to change the makeup of how we look at, you know, our congressional Senate races. Then what does that mean if we end up implementing it for other things? And it's like, don't you want more choice for voters? Don't you want voters to feel like they have more power and not feel powerless when they go, you know, cast a ballot? This is an opportunity to be able to get better elected officials out there and pushing them to come up with better ideas in public policy instead of them being comfortable in their little ivory towers and, you know, just feeding, you know, the masses crumbs about, you know, whatever they think is best for us. It's like, You don't get the same opportunity to bash candidates because candidates, you know, voters are going to remember that. And when they go into the booths and they remember that you really bashed their guy that they really like, then I'm like, you know what? You might be number five on my ranked choice now. I liked you kind of on issues, but you know what? I don't like the way that you talked about Jane. So, you know what? Forget about it.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to say what I want to say right now without sounding like I'm insulting a group of people, but it feels like ranked choice voting is a tough idea to wrap your head around in the beginning because there's a lot of explaining to do. It feels like, feels like math. So it doesn't surprise me that those who are fervently against it, that aren't elected officials, are ones who are saying it's a Democratic or a liberal ploy because they don't want to take the moments to just say, like, teach me, make me understand. Instead of going after me like, this is a conspiracy, they're trying to steal our elections with a new type of system, just say, all right, sit me down, write it out, make me understand so we can go from there. But of course they don't. They don't want to learn that. They would rather just sling conspiracy theories that says the liberals are trying to take it all away from us. You know, that's what it feels like. And also the elected officials who, as we've said before, would have to then do their job.
Well, and would have to work a whole lot harder. And, no, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, but that's part of it. And I also have to say, Nick, I think the people who say that this is a Trojan horse needs to get a dictionary and look up what Trojan horse means, at least until we start banning dictionaries here in Wisconsin like they're doing.
How about
in Florida?
A Trojan?
We're not there yet.
A Trojan rabbit. That's a Monty Python reference.
Yes, nice one.
Thank you.
if you're just joining us, Nick Ramos is our guest. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and we're talking about ranked choice voting. We have Mike from Kenosha is on the line. Good morning, Mike. Did you have a question for Nick?
Yes, thanks. I appreciate the topic. I'm a big, big fan of ranked choice. I think it's time is more than come. But I just want to remind you guys in the studio as well as the audience that that's just one of several steps that we need to do in order to support the public's need to feel that, like it was a fair and clean election. We talked about this a little bit last week. You know, we just went through the 2020, which by all standards, Republican standards, conservative standards, was a clean election. It was a good election.
Yeah.
But yet the right-wing machine distorted the truth and put all kinds of innuendos out there just to create enough doubt, right? So some of the other things that need to be done, I'll just put one, add one to the conversation, along with ranked choice, is we must demonetize our elections to allow billions of dollars of dark, unaccountable money to basically fund our elections is insanity.
Yes.
And it must be dealt with, because even if we do ranked choice and we get a bunch of new freshmen in there, they're going to be somewhat lost in trying to navigate the course, if you will, how to get things done. And so they're going to lean on the lobbies to help navigate them. And guess what happens to them? The lobbyists control the House, so to speak.
I really appreciate the call, Mike, and I absolutely agree with you. But money in politics, Citizens United has been nothing but a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it has been nothing but a nightmare for voters. Because if our lawmakers would put patches on their jackets from all of the corporations that they're owned by,
it'd look like NASCAR drivers.
At least they would be a little bit more honest.
Yeah.
You know, just wear your patches so we know where your allegiance belongs.
How many pharmaceutical companies are there?
There's probably three. The other thing I think, too, Nick, and I know that Pat Kreitlow on his show was talking about this a little bit this morning, too, is this gives people who want to run an ability to do so without the blessings of the party bosses, right?
Amen to that. And big shout out to Mike in Kenosha, man. You had some really good thoughts in there. And I couldn't agree more with you about getting money out of politics. And that's like literally the core tenet of what the Democracy Campaign is all about. And I think that this bill, as you were alluding to, Jane, I mean, I think it's good because not only does it, you know, take the pressure off of the big major parties and the big donors, because they're all like looking at a couple of horses that they're going to put their money on.
Yep.
And in this new system, you've got so many more candidates in the field. And it does not incentivize, you know, individuals to be able to just put all your chips in on somebody, especially when you have all these other parties that are being represented here. It's not going to just be Republicans and Democrats. You could have independents. You could have Green Party candidates. And again, the one that gets the five, you know, the five individuals get the most votes get to advance. And so you could have a world where it's no Republicans and no Democrats. I mean, there's a possibility of that. I know, right?
You're blowing my mind. You're blowing my mind, Nick.
I just felt a ripple. I just felt a ripple through the universe when you said that, Nick.
Somewhere Robin Voss was like, ow, my ear, ear.
The force is disturbed. Do you have time to stay with us for another segment?
Of course.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you. If you have a question for Nick Ramos, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, please give us a call or shoot us a text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. This conversation continues. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Shaw, WAUK.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Matt Nair. Mayer on Air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Mayer on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream where you can watch on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Our guest, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos, is here, and we're talking about Final Five voting. And Greg, you wanted to kind of tie a couple of things together.
We had Dan on in the previous hour talking about the new map suggestions, the seven new maps coming down that will be decided on hopefully in the next
couple weeks.
Honestly, you mix that in with the things that Nick at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign are trying to do, and also what Mike from Kenosha was talking about, and what I see, if all these things come together, you are going to have an exciting group of individuals who are going to be able to run for office, because, you know, in the face of gerrymandered maps, in the face of big money having, as you said, Nick, to grovel at the party, and also just more choice, someone's going to say, hey, yeah, I can run for the state senate.
And
I can run for this
and have a chance
and really want to do something. Because how many times have you seen candidates on these shows talking about running, and everybody, including them, they know they're not going to win because of the maps and all these. So, like, to me, between trying to like pull more money out of the process, trying to open up the choice, and trying to create a map system that really reflects the people, that, can you imagine who could be running for office in the next 10 years? That's exciting to me. Even people I disagree with, at least they won't be disagreeable. There'll be people who are like, hey, I just believe in this. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to vote for you, but you're my number five.
Yeah, but as we've talked about too, Nick, it's an opportunity for people to stay. They're going to have to appeal to a wider selection of people. So I would think that this is going to weed out extremes on either side. If you have to appeal to a wider swath of voters, you can't be in your hard right or your solely hard left lane. You're going to have to compromise if you're going to want everybody's votes, right?
You're going to have the attitude of compromise. That's
right. And you know, it's funny, you know, before taking over this job, like, you know, I worked in political campaigns, and you often hear all the time, it's, you know, you can't win as a centric candidate. You can't win being in the middle. If you're on the left, you got to keep going even farther left. If you're on the right, you got to go even farther right to win primaries, to stand out. And this bill changes the game entirely. And I feel like, you know, with what you were describing, Greg, it almost feels, I mean, I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse right now, but, you know, we're on like the beginning of what feels like it might be a renaissance when it comes to voting here in Wisconsin. When I think of the decision that came down in the Supreme Court as far as our state legislative maps, when I think about, you know, the possibility of actually, I mean, we have bipartisan support on a ranked choice voting bill. Like, who would have thought, you know, in 5-10 years, like, if you would ask somebody that would even be possible, and it's happening. You know, we just saw yesterday the filing of the congressional maps challenge from the Elias Law Group. So, like, there's a lot going on here. And I just think that when we just get back to thinking about Final Five voting, you know, there's just way more incentives and way more pros than there are cons. And I think at the end of the day, if our elected officials really do care about the people that, you know, send them to office, then I think you would also want to not strip them of the opportunity of having this kind of latitude, having this kind of freedom. And for candidates, like, as you guys were already saying, like, you know, people don't want to jump into races because of the monster that is fundraising. And you feel like you have to, you know, essentially sell your soul to get the resources and the money you need to go win an election. Yes. Instead of, you know, staying true to the issues that the people care about or what you care about. And don't we want candidates to actually be real with what they say to us instead of feel like they have to talk through the talking points that have been given down to them and bestowed upon them by whatever major party that you're trying to court? Like, I dream about, you know, running for office one day, but I'll tell you, like, the current landscape of things, I don't think I'd do it, you know, with just the amount of things that you have to do to sell your soul to try and win races. So yeah. I'm all for Final Five voting.
844-967-2789 if you want to join us and check in on this. Andrew from Maine, there are people in partisan politics, both in front of the screen and behind it, that definitely do not want the voters to have more voice. Some don't want the people to have a voice at all. And Andrew,
who are you talking about, Andrew?
Andrew, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, sadly, Andrew, I mean, you're on the money there. And that's why, like, you know, with the work that we do, whether it's the Fair Maps work and we've been in the fight for years, or this Final Five voting or whatever, you know, there's a real mission to try and put the power back into your hands and to our hands. Because, you know, there's a lot of power-hungry people that lost their way and forget that being a public servant means you're serving the public. You're not serving yourself. So, you know, we're working hard to try and take out the Death Star. So we'll see how it goes.
What's next with this, Nick? What are the next steps then with this?
Ooh. Well, I can tell you that it definitely seems like there's a lot of infighting as far as on the Republican side for this thing. And I just think, honestly, people need to just take a step back from having everything have to be like, we need to one up the other side about, you know, we can't let people get wins for things. It's like, no, like, if it's good for Wisconsin, it should be good for, like, you should be wanting to vote it. And so my hope is, you know, there's been so much support from so many different individuals. And I think that, you know, if we can get this thing voted on into the governor's office, my hope is that the governor sees how good this is and puts it into law so we can see this work out in our Senate races and our congressional races. And if it works out then and people aren't so confused, we might be able to see it be applied to maybe other races in this state to make it more opportunity for choice and more opportunity for people to not feel like their voices are being drowned out.
Well, and that's why, Nick, I wanted to have you on, and we're going to keep talking about this because obviously, not every Wisconsin resident is listening to this segment, although why they're not, I'm not sure. But it's important. It's important to talk about this, to educate people, to let them know what this would mean, how this would affect you as a voter, as a constituent, and take some of the scary away from it so people can have a better, fairer look at it.
Amen, Jane. And it has been a treat and a privilege to be able to be in the presence of you all. And, you know, for anybody out there, if you want updates, we do weekly updates on the latest and greatest and pro-democracy stuff here. Go to wisdc.org. I write articles all the time that you can read about, you know, and give me your thoughts. People email me and tell me all the time whether they think it's great or they think it's awful. So
we will definitely
appreciate you all.
We will definitely have you back.
Last second text from Andrew from Maine. He just wants to know, where do Wisconsin citizens go to sign up to fly X-Wings in the fight against the Death Star?
Go to your website. Go to your website, yeah. Right, Nick?
Go to my website, wisdc.org, subscribe, and don't worry, the Rebel Alliance is strong, baby.
Nick Heck Ramos, yeah. The executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so very, very much, Nick. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump is getting some criticism now over his attempts to block a bipartisan Senate deal over immigration reform. Utah Republican Mitt Romney.
The fact that he would communicate to Republican senators and congresspeople that he doesn't want us to solve the border problem because he wants to blame Biden for it is really appalling.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says his state will defend its border despite the Biden administration. CBS's Camila Montoya Galvez.
The state is defying federal demands to allow Border Patrol into a public park in Eagle Pass. National Guard soldiers are fortifying the park with armed vehicles, fencing, and razor wire.
Britain and Finland are among the nations that have joined the U.S. and pausing funding for the United Nations Refugee Agency for Palestinians. This amid allegations that some of the staff were involved in the October 7th Hamas attacks on Israel. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
The Bucks lose at home to Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Cavaliers beat the Bucks 112-110 at Fiserv Forum. Bucks interim head coach Joe Prunty after the loss.
You know, you got to get a flow, and meaning set screens, hard cuts, get the ball moving side to side so that you can get downhill. If we can move them side to side, as opposed to there was quite a few times where we had long possessions or we got late into the shot clock, but it wasn't because the ball was moving side to side. It was because maybe we just ran one action and we didn't create a problem and we pounded it too much.
After the game, the Bucks officially announced that Doc Rivers has signed his deal as the team's new head coach. He'll hold a press conference. College basketball, the Badgers cruise to an 81-66 win over Michigan State. The Badgers' A.J. Storr on how he scored 28 points.
Really just playing off my bigs. They like to double the post a lot, so it leaves me open to either catch and shoot or make a quick drive to the basket, really.
That's Wisconsin's A.J. Storr. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some fog today, otherwise cloudy skies, and we'll see a high near 37. Some fog tonight, clouds and 33. Cloudy skies on your Sunday with a high near 36. We'll be in the upper 30s for Monday and 37 with some rain for your Tuesday.
Right now, 35.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Our Wisconsin winter feels like the perfect time for casseroles. And Red Maple Restaurant near Walker's Point recently received King of the Hot Dish Crown.
They had an amazing kind of Asian-inspired, gravy-covered, meatball-heavy casserole, which was my personal favorite, so I was glad to see it win.
Matt Wild with Milwaukee Record visiting Matt and Air on Air, where Greg wants all in on this tasty bake-off.
You got your businesses, and then people can bring their own casserole. So there's like almost like two levels of competition.
I like this.
The casserole contest supports the Kinship Food Center. We'll keep you posted on the next one. If music is more your thing, the Rat Pack Tribute Show returns to the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee, Saturday, January 27th. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the High School Musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Caliente C on the board coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. We're trying out some new nicknames for Calvin, our producer.
Caliente C?
Just seeing how what the mouth feel is like and, you know, we got to kick it around a little bit.
I still like Calviente.
Andrew from Maine, ice cold Calvin is a suggestion from Andrew. We can take that for a test run.
We need to poop or get out the pot here. We need to set up an official contest. Like
with bragging rights?
Yeah, you get bragging rights. You can also if you live close, we can give you a button. Not a $40,000 button, but
it's no house member button.
I also give you the first season of the show House. I have that on DVD. I don't watch that anymore. but yeah, we should just have a contest.
Naming Calvin.
Calvin's official nickname.
Listener from listening on WFHR Country. Call Calvin Hobbs with the knobs.
Ew.
That's Calvin and Hobbs. It's a reference to Calvin and Hobbs.
I was thinking of the movie Hobbs and Shaw.
Anyway. If you have a suggestion or you just want to make a comment, you are always more than welcome to join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. I saw this morning, and I'm very saddened to hear this, and I know that she had been ill for a while, but she was a star on Charmed. Shannon Doherty now has stage 4 breast cancer.
Yeah.
And she admits that she's hoping she's got another 4 or 5 years. She's not a very old person.
No, she's in her early 50s now.
Yeah, she's 52.
This is her second bout. Her first bout was went to remission. And
then now it has metastasized.
Yeah.
And so we certainly wish her well. But it was interesting in this article in the New York Post, of all places. She has a podcast with a friend, and she's very specific about what she wants and what she does not want when she dies.
Yes. Yes.
So she said, there are a lot of people that I think would show up for a funeral that I just don't want there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want them there because their reasons for showing up are not necessarily the best reasons. It's like they probably don't really like me, and they have their reasons. Fine. Good enough for them. They don't actually like me, though, enough to show up to my funeral, but they will because it's the politically correct thing to do and they don't want to look bad.
I mean, this is a whole different layer. You know, if you're a celebrity or, you know, a celebrity in your community, I understand that. Like, with so-and-so passed away, I have to go to the funeral. I have to be seen.
It's an I'm obligated to go.
It'd be rude if I didn't go. You're thinking about yourself. It's not about the person or the people who are grieving around you. It's more about, like, you know, how do I get my clout or at least keep people off my back?
Yeah.
I mean, that's smart. I mean, that's, you know, and then I asked the question, you know, what about you? Do you have wishes, demands,
plans,
plans? I mean, people have plans. They have plans as far as where they're going to be buried, if they'll be buried, but like, do you have like, oh, I have a guest list and I have a music choice and I have a thing. And you said,
I do.
You do.
I do. I have a guest list because we're going to have an open bar at my funeral because I want it to be a celebration. I want it to be a celebration of life. Not, okay, I would like a little crying at my funeral, but I don't want it to be a weep fest. I would rather people laugh.
No,
aren't going to be any jokes at my funeral. I don't want to go. Not that I have a choice, but I have a guest list.
Yep.
Which has changed over the years.
I imagine. Yeah.
Some people have been added. Some people have been subtracted.
So in my head now, I just imagine, you know, the typical funeral home, but outside the door that to go into your services, there's a velvet rope and a big guy with a clipboard, like name.
Oh, I want a bouncer at my funeral.
And just all of the people who have wronged you. Who are, you know, who think, oh, I'll go to Jane. I've got to go to Jane's funeral. They're like, sorry, you're not on the list.
You're not on the list.
I'm sorry. I worked with Jane for 22 years. That's great. You're not on the list. So
and she's not here to let you in.
No. Yeah.
And but, I don't, maybe this is odd for people. My father was a mortician.
Yeah.
So we grew up above a funeral home. I lived above a funeral home. So we would talk about stuff like this. And my parents would often just have discussions about how sad it was to see people who did not make any arrangements and did not leave arrangements for the people left behind, because then all these difficult decisions have to be made by them.
Yeah.
And most people would want to carry out your last wishes, which is why you have to do the uncomfortable thing and you have to sit down and you have to think about it.
Well, and the other thing too is there's pressure from the living. And I say that because, you know, I have a friend of mine whose grandmother died, and the grandmother did not want a funeral. Just did not.
At all.
Nothing. If you want to have a luncheon, that's fine, but I do not want a funeral, period. Well, the family around her was saying, well, we want to have some sort of service. And she capitulated and she had a funeral. And afterwards, she told my friend, I wish I'd never died. I feel like I've disrespected my mother's wishes because the people around me said, we want this. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter what the other people want. And I understand that it's easier said than done.
And funerals are ultimately for the living.
Exactly.
They are.
Yes. And they are, to a certain degree, selfish endeavors, depending on what you're doing. If you're just, like I said, you're getting together for a luncheon and you can tell some stories, that, I think that's great. You want to have an open bar and a party? That's fantastic. But if you are buying the mega ultra $15,000 casket with the angel stone engraved, like, this isn't about the person who's died. This is about you and your status and your lack of self-awareness and all the other things I can't think of right now. I get really peeved when I hear about kind of thing. Like, because me, I have the same thing. It's like, when I die, I know exactly what I want.
Do you have it written down?
I don't have it written down. We're going to work on that this year. In fact, we wanted to bring this up too, is it's time, I think, to have Joe McClear back on the show.
Our friend Joe McClear.
To talk about planning, to talk about options, because that is one of the most important things. And folks, if you, I'm 46 years old. If you are married at my age or younger, guess what? Still make those plans.
Oh, yes.
I mean, my wife verbally knows what I want. She knows exactly what I want. And luckily, my family isn't going to fight her. But she knows that I don't want to be buried. She knows that I don't want a funeral. She knows that I want a party and I want a roast and I want good times. That's what I want. But I do not want the traditional things. But it's important to get them, write them down.
You have to write it down. The reason this spurred all of this conversation, if you're just joining us, Shannon Doherty, who was a television star on Charmed for a very long time, now has a stage 4 breast cancer, and she is assuming that she's only going to have a couple of years to live, if that. It has metastasized.
Yeah.
But she's very adamant about what she wants and what she does not want when she dies.
Yeah.
And it just got us talking about, well, what do you want? And do you have it written down? And I do. I have a guest list. I have all the music picked out. And I also built in 10 minutes for eulogy rebuttals.
That's the funniest thing I've heard. Like, and please, Jane, if you and I are friends when your day's end approaches, I would like to be in charge
of the rebuttals.
Not to say the rebuttals, not to say the rebuttals. But what I want to do is, don't tell anybody that, like, because by the time this happens, they'll forget. You have people say their eulogies or their little nice, kind messages, and then I get up and I go, all right, well, thank you, everybody. We will now have 10 minutes of eulogy rebuttals. Anyone who was not a fan of either the speak or the person currently not with us, feel free to come up. You have exactly 1 minute.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think a time limit is important.
But now I'm thinking about my guest list.
And who will deliver the rebuttals?
And no, period. So now I'm like thinking about the idea of like renting a room where there's like a VIP room. So you can come to the party, but then there's a special, like, you know, only this group of people get to go into this room.
Oh, you're going to make your funeral exclusive now?
Oh, yeah. We have determined one thing on this show about ya boy. I'm petty.
At least you own it.
I do.
At least I own it.
So, listeners, and Calvin, what about you?
Well, Calvin's 25 years old. Have you even had one thought about death?
Okay, that's just funny. A sad question.
It's something I consider, I guess. I'm kind of hoping I make it to the point where I can have my consciousness digitally uploaded to a computer and then I can live forever.
Well, that's a whole
that's a whole lot of left field, but I hope I got at least 60 or 70 years for that to come to fruition.
Good to know. And certainly by that time, you may very well be right. It who knows? By the time Calvin is my age.
I mean,
what's going to be available?
Okay, cool. I want to see that happen. I want to see that happen, Calvin. And then I want, you know, then we'll pick a nickname for you, and that'll all be uploaded into your digital profile.
Once we settle on one.
Exactly.
Lisa Joe from Madison listening on WMDX. Thank you, Lisa. My funeral playlist is over 16 hours long. It begins with, "This is going to be the best day of my life," and it ends with, "When the music's over." That is good. When the music's over.
So,
my last song is "Always Look at the Bright Side of Life" by Monty Python.
There's a good one. I do have a question, Lisa Joe. In order to, do you have to, is the funeral going to be 16 hours? Is it going to be like
a rave?
Yeah. Or like
a rave?
Like they're going to cart your body down some stairs and put you through the streets and, you know,
a cortege, is that what it's called? a funeral procession.
Yeah, with a band, like a New Orleans funeral. Man, I gotta think about a guest list and a super guest list, and I gotta think about a playlist.
There's a lot involved. Oh my gosh, Greg Buck.
I'm gonna put some really inappropriate songs right after really heartfelt songs.
That's kind of how I laid things out too. Because again, I would like a modicum of weeping. I just don't want a deluge. I want it to be a party, but then, you know, for my own vanity, even though I won't be there, a little crying would be lovely. Just a little.
What if there's an afterlife and you got to watch your own funeral and no one cried?
That would be okay, as long as the jokes are good.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I'll make sure the jokes are good. I'll light people like, "You're done. You know, no, you're being the funny guy at the office right now. I want it real."
And if you're listening, feel free to steal my idea of having eulogy rebuttals, because
I think it's a great idea.
And the reason I came up with this was, again, my father would talk about how, you know, it's amazing when you die, all of a sudden you become a saint.
Yeah.
And everybody forgets. And so I think I look at this as my effort to help people speed up the grieving process by admitting that there were flaws.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, we've all been there too. When somebody dies, there's the initial shock. And like sometimes, like for me, there's so many people I can think of who within an hour were already telling stories, ripping on the person in a loving way.
Exactly.
But we're laughing. We're laughing within an hour of them being gone because one, that's a natural defense mechanism. And two, it's probably what they would have wanted as well.
What better way to celebrate someone that you loved?
Yeah.
By sharing some laughs and sharing some stories. And I see that as a positive. I'm certainly not trying to be disrespectful for anyone who is dealing with loss right now. That's not my intention. But if you would like to join this conversation, we're getting a couple other texts coming in. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Baby C on the board. We're looking for a nickname for our producer, Calvin. We're just kicking things around. Oh, fine. You don't have to love everything.
I don't like any of them.
A Digital Calvin from Robert from Monona.
Digital Calvin. Oh.
It could be DJ.
Digi-C.
Digi-C.
Did you see him coming down the road?
There might be potential there.
Did you see?
If you want to call or text, you can always do so. 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Or leave a message on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We were talking about Shannon Doherty, actress, television actress for a long time on Charmed, among many other things. And yeah. She is dealing with, tragically, stage 4 breast cancer. And is looking, I think, for, you know, hopefully to have another 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But she's being very open and honest about what she wants and what she does not want. And there are certain people in this article I found this morning about people she definitely does not want at her funeral. And it just got us talking about our own plans.
And it also, I mean, like, going back to the original article, too, is it sounds very much she's just saying, look, I don't need you Hollywood types at my funeral.
She said she doesn't like phonies.
Yeah, you weren't friends with me then. You're not friends with me now. And at the end of the day, remember something. It's okay not to be friends with somebody.
Yes.
If you are friends with someone in high school and you lost touch and that was it, they're not your friend anymore. And that's fine. I wouldn't take offense if someone said, oh, hey, we're not friends anymore. I wouldn't be like, they're mad at me. It's just, we don't talk anymore. Don't try, and it goes around the notion of now you're making this about you.
You, and it shouldn't be about you.
It's not supposed to be about you, and it's not about you being seen. It's about the person that we're celebrating.
Right, and certainly you can celebrate, you know, your memories of that person in your own way.
Exactly.
That's absolutely valid. 844-967-2789. I do have a guest list because we're going to have an open bar. So there will be restricted access to my funeral. I have the music all picked out, including Monty Python's Always Look at the Bright Side of Life for the big finish. And I'm going to build in time to have eulogy rebuttals in order to help people speed along the grieving process.
Yes.
Just some reminders that I could be a real pain in the neck. Catherine from Madison listening on WMDX. Jane, I love, love, love the eulogy rebuttal idea. I am stealing that for my memorial. Lisa Joe, also from Madison, who had checked in with her 16 hours of funeral music. Yeah. She said, I'm going to have a big 3-day party if necessary. Lots of stories, laughter, and tears. Oh, and everybody has to shout F Bonnie Raitt every time one of her songs comes on. That is a story in and of itself. Lisa Joe, now I'm really curious.
What did Bonnie Raitt do to you?
I love Bonnie Raitt.
Me too.
I'm sure there's a very funny story behind that.
And I'm pretty sure she'd probably kick anyone's butt, too. So I would never say
Bonnie Raitt. Raitt?
Yeah. She's lived.
Maybe it's said with love.
We'll see.
Maybe it's said with love. Calvin is going to be on the board at Greg's final prime roast and simply decide to shut the mics off when the speakers aren't funny enough. Andrew from Maine.
I would love that. I would love that. And then, oh my gosh, yes.
Or you could make it a little more visual and use a hook.
Ah, no, I want there like just like a. Ooh, I'm gonna think about this stuff like a big horn. He just presses a huge button. Oh, so many options. So many options. My gosh, I'm really going to think about this now.
Lots of things to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be fun. I can't wait for the VIP. I'm going to say this right now. There's going to be a VIP plus section. There'll be three layers.
Is this going to require a subscription or something? What are we talking about?
It's going to require you never betraying me, Jane. Dan isn't in the VIP plus area anymore.
Oh.
He's in VIP. We've mended our fences.
Okay.
He has to work now.
In order to get to the VIP plus.
Yes.
For your funeral roast.
Yes.
Good to
know. No. Everyone can see the roast. The VIP plus is just the extra ultra party where I pay for you to come to wherever it is. It's not going to be Wisconsin. It's going to be somewhere warm.
Oh, it's a destination funeral roast.
Probably, yeah. No, I just decided that right
That's
now.
That's a whole new level.
Sorry, Bridget. Didn't mean to throw that spanner in the works.
One text I want to share, and this is so lovely, unsolicited praise. Pat from Tosa. I love the new show, Matt Nair on Air. Jane and Greg, keep up the great coverage of issues in the news. Thank you so very much, Pat. Genuinely, that means everything. We love hearing from you.
Yeah.
And we have an email now as well.
We do.
So if there is something going on in your community or some issue specific to your area, whether you're in Amory, Hayward, or in Bayfield or Eau Claire or La Crosse, Green Bay, Wausau, you name it. All you have to do is shoot us a text. It's Matt Nair on Air, all one word, MATENAER, Matt Nair on Air at civicmedia.us. So there's something you want us to talk about, some nonprofit in your area you would like us to highlight, just to send us a text and we'll see what we can do.
And don't forget, folks, you can also find us on social media now, facebook.com/MattNair on Air. You'll be able to like the page. You'll see pictures. You'll see updates. Maybe some polls we'll throw out in the field for y'all to vote on. And in the coming days, you'll be able to watch the live stream, the StreamYard show on that as well. And then we'll let you know about things like the Twitter account and the Instagram account. And if we can, we can just get a LinkedIn account.
Boy, you're aiming high now.
So, yeah, find us on social media and also do this. Tell one friend.
That'd be great.
Just that's our ask for today. Tell one friend about our show, and we would love that. Because you know what?
Just ask them to check it out. They don't have to stay.
Yeah, they don't have to stay. They can listen to our shenanigans, our tomfoolery, and we'll have a good time. But, yeah, just tell a friend. That's my ask.
And stay warm today, too. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Caliente C. Thank you, everyone, for calling and texting. Keep the suggestions in for Calvin's nickname. We're going to keep this going for a while. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Thank you to Dan Schaefer for recombobulating and Nick Ramos. It was a wonderful discussion about ranked choice voting. Yep. And most of all, thank you to you for calling and listening and texting. Without you, we are nothing. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
The For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues. Crudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Crudy brings on the ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
Viva Las Vegas!
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.